It is certainly a joy to be here, and it's certainly a joy to see children performing like that, isn't it? I think there are very few that would disagree with that. It is gives you a very lighthearted and warm mood, and it's something that, when you think about it, sometimes you have to ponder why exactly they were doing it. You see, sometimes we can come for our own reasons. Sometimes you might be here because you're related to one of the children and you wanted to see them perform. Or you felt obligated because one of your little relatives was performing. Sometimes you're just here because it's the thing you're supposed to do, not necessarily because you want to. And you come for a reason. But the question that I'd like you to ask yourself is, what is the reason that those that put that on wanted you to come? Why do they want you to see and hear what they have done? After you think about that question, I want you to think about it, because it's something that Jesus asks of us about himself. He does this a number of times, but one example of it is in Luke chapter 7. He's asking about John the Baptist, the first one that was born, if you will, with Elizabeth and Zacharias. And he says in Luke chapter 7, verse 24, "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in kings' courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee." You think about what all of the Jews were going out to see with John the Baptist. They had their reasons. You had the Pharisees having their reasons going out. You had the publicans having their reasons going out. Each group that went to see John and hear what he said had a reason to be there. Each of those groups had a different reason as they left hearing John. Jesus continues, and it says, "And all the people heard him, and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." You see, they went for one reason, and when they left, they had a completely different reason. When those that heard John and believed what he said and were baptized, they left completely different than when they had gone. They had gone to just see what was going on, to see the reed shaken in the wilderness. And when they left, they were nearer to God. But then the Pharisees came because of the people, and when they left, they were farther from God. You see, it's one of those things that we can have our own ideas why we want to be somewhere. But the author, the originator of the story, has a reason for telling you the story. There's a purpose behind it. And sometimes we get distracted by our own reasons to see the reason of the author. It happens so often when we're studying the Scriptures. What did you see in the Scriptures? What did you see when you read this? Well, what did the author want you to see is a better question. What did God, who gave us the book, who wrote the story for us, want us to see? That's a question that we ought to ask ourselves. You see, people see a lot of things in Christmas. They see a lot of extra things in Christmas. Some people will see, well, it's a king to rule the earth, right? This powerful ruler who's going to put everything straight. Some people see that. Is that what you see? We want people to put things straight. We see the elections that are taking place around the world, and there's a reaction against politics. And I'm not going to talk about politics at all, but you see that people have a desire for things to be put right, don't they? And a lot of people look at Christmas in that way. A lot of people see the baby in a manger. A lot of people see the baby, and it's a cute story. It's a lovely story, just like the kids had done this morning. But that's all they see. It's a nice story to think about. Oh, God would send his son. Isn't that nice? Oh, that's lovely. It's a time of peace among people. We hear the angel come out and say, "Peace, goodwill towards men." And we think about peace in between ourselves, amongst ourselves. But is that what the author had in mind? That what the story, the one who wrote it, was talking about? It's a really important question. What did God want you to see when he told you the story of Christ coming to be born? He tells us. He doesn't leave it for our imagination. He doesn't let us figure it out for ourselves. In Luke chapter 2, we saw this already. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The sign, what was the sign? The sign was that the baby would be in the manger. They went to worship the Savior, not to worship a baby. They went to worship the Savior who was the baby at the time. But the angel was very clear in what he said. I'm giving you a Savior. This is what God is telling us. A Savior, not just a nice cute story for a certain time of year. It's a Savior. Luke 2. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's seen what? He saw Jesus as a baby there in the temple. But what did he say he saw? God's salvation. That's what the baby was all about. Not to be a nice story for a particular time of year, although it is. It's to be more than that. There in the temple at the same time was Anna. In verse 36, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. You notice what she was talking about? She wasn't talking about, oh, there's this lovely story that we've got a baby now. No, that baby has come for a reason, for the redemption of his people. For the redemption of his people. That's exactly what the angel told to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That was the point. That's what his name means, Savior. He shall save his people from their sins. You think of the Christmas story, and it's a beautiful story. Why? It's because Jesus is the Savior, because he came to die. Without Easter, without the cross, the Christmas story means nothing. If it hadn't been for Jesus coming as a Savior, we wouldn't remember the Christmas story. We wouldn't think about the Christmas. There'd be no point. There would be no peace, good tidings unto us. What would it matter if there was a baby born almost 2,000 years ago for us today if he wasn't a Savior? Why would we bother? Why would we care? There's babies born all the time. Because he came to save his people from their sins. That's what the author, that's what the creator of the story wants you to know. It wasn't just one part of it. It was a longer story. It was a longer story that is coming to show you a Savior. There's no point after that. If it's just the baby, you might as well forget it. But it's not just the baby. It's that he grew. It's that he grew and he went to the cross to die for sinners. but that he didn't stay in the grave. He rose on the third day and had victory over sin and death. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of the Christmas story. You think, oh, that's Easter. No, that's Christmas. That's the point of Christmas. That's what the angel told Joseph. That's what the angel told the shepherds. That's what Anna knew. That's what Simeon knew. Everybody in the story, Elizabeth and Zacharias, they all knew it. They all understood it. That this is the Savior that is being born. This is God Almighty come down in the flesh for a reason. For a reason, and that is to save His people from their sins. So the question that you have to ask yourself is that, do you see that? Do you see that in the story? Do you believe that? If you do, then you can rejoice in it even more so. You can rejoice in it like others can't. You can rejoice in it in ways that no one else can understand because you know the Savior. Because you've been forgiven of your sins. But if you only see the baby, if you only feel the warm, gooey feeling, you only get the little chuckles when people do something cute, when the little one carries the gift away, then you've missed something. Because the point of the story, just as I'm sure those that have put this together would tell you, is that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. That was why He came as a baby. That's why He lived. That's why He went through the same growing pains all these young ones still have to go through. And all of us older ones are glad we already are finished with them. He went through those things for His people, to save them from their sins. And He went to the cross, and He shed His blood, and He rose from the dead to show that He had that victory, that you could believe Him, that you could trust Him, and that it would change your life for eternity. And that is the Christmas story. The question is, do you see it? So just as they were this morning pointing you to Jesus, I do the same. We point you to Jesus Christ, not in the manger and not on the cross. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is now sat down at the right hand of the Father in heaven, having gained victory for His people over their sin. And He calls you to believe. He calls you to trust. Won't you trust Him today? Amen. We're going to go ahead and sing our last hymn, number 588, and I will turn this off so you don't have to hear me and my crooning.